The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
If you have your Bibles, you can turn to. We're going to be a couple places this morning. But the first place is our theme verse, 1 Peter chapter 2. Hopefully by now in your own Bible you have this highlighted, outlined, and as Andrew taught us a few weeks back, you have it completely diagrammed and cross-referenced with 50 different verses, right? All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Sorry, I don't know why I just unplugged my mic. That was weird. All right, but while you're turning there, let me give you some heads up. We started a series about a month ago, and it's called The Call. How many of you have ever been out in the neighborhood when you were younger, and mom or dad called for you to come home for dinner? Has that ever happened to you? Back before cell phones existed? Yeah? Okay, good. How many of you ever had that call, but you didn't hear it? Yeah? Let me ask that again. How many of you were called, but there was one or two times in your life where you didn't hear that call? How many of you got home and there was no dinner because you did not respond to the call? Okay, well, a few of us. My parents had to teach me sometimes the hard way, and anyways, we called you, but you didn't come. Anyways, a call happens oftentimes when we are not where we should be. And that's the focus of this series, for us to realize that God has a call on our lives, and many times that call has come because we're not where we should be. And we're looking at different areas that this call calls to us in our lives. And so if you've missed any of the weeks in this series, I encourage you to go back. You can go back and listen. The first week we talked about the call to care for one another. This was something deeply modeled by Christ. Everywhere he went, he had compassion and was moved. You remember the big word we learned? Splagdozomehi? Yeah, you all remember that one. It talked about the kind of compassion that aches on the inside. It's the kind of compassion that moves you to action. To say that you care and to not act is to not care at all. And so Christ established for us and set the example for us by caring. Christ said, a doctor comes for the sick, not for the what? What's the opposite of sick? Are you guys awake this morning? All right. So, we are to be out here caring for one another, caring for those who do not yet know Christ, caring for those brothers and sisters in Christ who have needs that are not being met. We are called to care. The second week, we talked about the call to generosity. And we realized that God established for us this idea that we would give of ourselves back to Him in the area of our time, giving back our time to the things that He needs us to do. Let me say that that He invites us to do. God doesn't need us. He doesn't need our stuff, but He invites us to be a part of what He's doing in this world. And we get to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. A call to generosity, not just with our time, but with our resources, giving back to Him. And we looked at how the Old Testament established this thing called the tithe, giving back to God 10% of what we earn and we make, and we give it back to God. Kind of demonstrated in that video we saw earlier with the father teaching the daughter. And that's a hard lesson to learn. Even at a young age, she was like, what? God gets how much? And some of you heard my story of wanting a skateboard and having to give up 10% of my first 20 ever made. But I was blessed not just with the skateboard, but also with a what, John Demko? What else did I get? Yeah, you're writing instead of listening. Yep. Yeah, he told me that was going to happen. Anyways, I got a skateboard and a Chinese star, and that's how God blessed me. Now, you could argue with me all day. Is a Chinese star really a blessing? I thought it was. So anyway, today we're talking about a call to community. A call to community. Let's start back with our theme verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. In your Bibles, you can see it read. It says this, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you a what? An example that you should what? Follow in His steps. Christ calls us to something that we're not yet doing. And some of us, maybe we're taking some great steps in caring for others. Some of us, we're being very generous in the way we live, in the way we we share our resources and take care of others. But for us to look at ourselves through the lens of Scripture, through the lens of Jesus as an example, I think we all will see that we are really never quite where we should be. There's always room for improvement. And so through this series, we want to look at our lives and we want to say, in light of Scripture, in light of what Jesus has done for us as an example, where do we fall as followers, as called ones of Jesus Christ? The word for church is ekklesia. It means called out. God has called us as the church and established us to be set out and set apart for a difference, to make a difference, and to be His hands and feet in this earth. And so we want to dive into this, and today we're going to be looking at the call to community. All right, I don't know if I put this in your notes, and by the way, in your handout this morning, there is a place, a sheet for you to take notes, blanks to fill in, and things to doodle if you get bored. But it'll help you stay focused if you are the kind of person that likes notes. One of the words in there that you can write in there if it isn't printed is the term koinonia. Don't ask me how to spell it. I'll say it again, though. Koinonia. Does anybody know what koinonia means? Partnership? Oh, is it in there? I did put it in there. You cheaters. All right, so koinonia means partnership. It means to be aligned with another, a fellowship. If you look at it in an exact translation, it's kind of awkward. It means relational intercourse. Now, not in the weird way. It means to be so intimately connected with another person that you become one in purpose and in spirit. And this is what God calls us to. God calls us to be aligned with the body of Christ. He calls us to be one with Him, but also one with others. And we're going to look into this as we dive into this. A lot of times in our society, though, we have a lot of singled out, alone Christians. Christians that are walking this journey on their own, apart from other people in community. We live in a society where community is not always fostered. And some of it is the church's fault. We've put on this idea that we have to come to church with a certain mask on. We have to look just right. You know, we're arguing in the car. We park. Okay, shut up and we'll continue after service. Hi, everyone. We're fine now, you know. We've established this mindset that we have to have it all together to be a part of the family of God. And so we don't really open up who we really are. One of the things that, if you read our website, a welcome statement to those looking into Hope Hill, it says, when we invite you to our church, we invite you to be a part of our lives. We invite you to be a part of the good, the bad, and the ugly. And sometimes people aren't wanting that. They just want the good. You know, give me some inspirational, you know, Sunday messages every once in a while, some good music, and we'll leave our dirty laundry back at home. But God calls us to embrace one another fully, to care for one another intimately, and to be there in the good, the bad, and the ugly. Back in the beginning of time, this was established. God made the first man, what was his name, just to keep you awake? Adam, very good. Adam was created. And as you look at the story of creation, God goes throughout each of the days in the account. It says He created light, and the Bible says He saw it, and it was, and He created the land and the sea and the separation of them, and He saw it, and it was, and He created the birds of the air and the creatures of the sea, and He saw it, and it was. And each day you go through, and it says that everything was good, until one part it says that it was not good that man should be alone. From the beginning, God has made us to be in unity, common unity with one another. And we have to realize this, that in order to be and experience what God calls us to be and to experience as the body of Christ is to be in community with one another. We live in a relationally impoverished society, and a lot of it is because we don't want to air out our dirty laundry. We want to keep everything hidden, and it causes us to really be, even though in a crowded room, practically alone. I do a lot of premarital counseling, and I've often been leery of couples that come, and I'll say, have you guys had a fight? And they're like, no, we love each other. We never fight. If you haven't fought, there's something not right. Okay? you're hiding something. Someone is hiding something. We have to be able to open up to who we fully are. It doesn't mean everything about you is good, but we have to be real with one another. And in order to become one the way God wants us to, we've got to be real. We've got to be authentic. Now, it doesn't mean you stay bad, and it doesn't mean you stay ugly. Some of you have to work at that harder than others, but that was supposed to be funny. We are called to be open, to be real with one another, and to allow iron to sharpen iron, and God's Holy Spirit to work through the relationships that He puts in our life. I often use the illustration that tension and conflict is many times a good thing. Without friction, things, you know, metal has to be heated up for the impurities to be worn out. It has to be rubbed for it to become smooth and sharp. And that process takes pain, and it creates friction at times, and we don't like that, but it produces good results in the end. In premarital counseling, I'll also often talk about two peaceful streams coming together. And when they come together, initially there's a lot of turbulence, right? You guys been whitewater rafting? Okay, these two peaceful streams come together and all of a sudden it isn't so peaceful. And so when we become one, not just in marriage, but with each other relationally, sometimes there's going to be conflict. And it doesn't mean, oh, you know, I thought everything was going good, but we had this argument, so it's over. In our society, it's become too easy. Marriages end, well, it was great for a couple years, but we fight too much now. You know, yeah, you shouldn't be fighting all the time, but don't run just because of conflict. We need to realize that God wants us to grow through the hard times, to deal with conflict in a Christ-like manner, and to work through these things to become better ourselves and to grow healthier in our relationships. So, we want to talk about what it is to have true biblical community. Many times, the church, you've heard this. The question often asked in church is, do you have a what with Jesus? A what? A relationship. Many times that word personal is used. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? It's a very important question. It's the foundation on which all is built. But what is often not asked is, do you have a shared relationship with Jesus? It's a totally different thing, but it's just as important. We have to have a relationship with Jesus. Christ wants us to have this personal relationship where we are open to Him completely, and we are seeking after Him on a regular basis, not just an hour a week on a Sunday morning, where we are living life with Christ. But Christ also calls us to have this kind of life with others, that we are aligning ourselves with others and sharing in this relationship with Him. So, this morning, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? I know many of you would say, yeah, we do. My next question is, do you have a shared? Are there other people in this community that are helping you grow stronger in your walk with Christ? Are there other people in your life that are helping you wrestle with things that are not quite right in your life? Do you have a partnership with someone who is helping you and spurring you on to deeper depth with Christ? Do you have that relationship with others? Christ didn't say, wherever you and I are together, it's great. He said, wherever there are two or three or more gathered, there I am in the midst. Christ calls us to be aligned with one another in unity. Even the Lone Ranger, how many of you are excited about that movie coming out? Okay. Even the Lone Ranger had who? Tonto, exactly. Okay. Yeah, sure, he was the Lone Ranger, but he had a sidekick there. And I hope Johnny Depp doesn't ruin it. Although I'm looking... Anyway, okay. What does community do? Well, first of all, community, number one, community demands commitment. Community demands commitment. Community does not happen by accident. Coming here once a week, and if that is your habit and you're able to come here once a week, that is not enough. Community is, and I'm not trying to sit here and say you have to make sure you're in this service 52 weeks a year. That's not going to do it either. Community takes intentionality of you reaching across and connecting with someone. You going the extra mile and connecting with someone, not just how much real depth are you going to get sitting behind someone for an hour or two a week? None. And so we want to create a way for you to get to know one another better. And it's going to take commitment. Let's look at a key passage for today. Acts 2:42 in your Bibles. You can turn there. We're probably going to camp there the rest of the day. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. 42, excuse me. Acts 2:42 says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. There's that word that's sometimes translated community. And to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to these things, to teaching and fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now let's break these things down to see what's really going on. First of all, Jesus was here for 33 years. At the last part of his life, the last 3 years, he gathered together a bunch of people. We often call them the disciples. We had the 12 disciples, but we know that there were a lot more that followed Jesus closely and intimately. And Jesus walked with them and lived with them for 3 years. And at the end of the time, he said, now I'm leaving you behind to continue what I've taught you. And I want you to go out into the rest of the world and to teach them the things I've taught you, to go and to baptize them and to what? Make disciples. We want to be followers that make other followers. Disciples that make disciples. And the way that this started, we see the beginning of the church happening in Acts chapter 2. The very first church. Why do we do the things we do? Well, hopefully it's because we see it as the way God established it. And when you look back at Acts chapter 2, I think that this is the perfect example for churches to model themselves after. First of all, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The things that Christ had taught them, they were dedicated to teaching it to others. They dedicated themselves, devoted themselves to fellowship, getting together and sharing in life with one another. To breaking of bread. Now, this is not just communion, which we'll take today, where we take bread to remember that Christ died for us. His body was broken for us, and he spilled his blood. He allowed his blood to be shed to pay the price for our sins. That's important. But as you go on and you read more, this was actually the breaking of bread in their homes, getting together often and sharing a meal together. And I'm not just talking about our style of like running through the drive-thru real quick. Hey, burger. Okay, great. Let's go on. No, really sitting down and having deep conversation with one another, sharing good food and sharing life stories and spending time caring for one another. This was their kind of breaking bread. Do you do that regularly with other believers or other people that God has put around you that he's wanting you to use you to reach? And then the last thing, to prayer. So I want you to look at your life, and we're going to kind of allow you to test yourself right now, okay? And you're not going to have to turn these in for a grade, so be honest, okay? There are four things I want you to look at. Number one, and I want you to rank yourself, one being the lowest, 10 be the highest, four areas I want you to rank yourself in your walk with Christ and your walk and when it comes to community. First of all, on a scale of 1 to 10, rank yourself and how you would consider yourself at experiencing God's Word in a community with somebody else. Where are you in that? Do you often, outside of Sunday morning, get together with others to be in God's Word together? Is it a 1? It's not happening at all. Is it a 10? Yeah, I'm in 15 Bible studies. Okay? Not that you have to be in 15 Bible studies to be a 10. Sometimes that's too much in will sometimes not allow you to put anything out. So where are you, though, personally? Where do you feel you are in experiencing? What's that? Wednesday counts. Sure. Thanks for bringing that up. Wednesday mornings, if any of you want to join us, we get together at 6:30 to 8 at Panera. Good food, good word. And if you want to join us, come on out. All right, number two, how are you at doing life together? Caring for one another, playing with one another, hanging out and sharing life with one another. How are you in that area? I know some of our community groups, you know, they'll go and catch a ball game together. They'll go and serve at a soup kitchen together. They'll go and help out a neighbor in their community, in their neighborhood together. How are you at connecting and doing life together? Going to one another's children's events, birthdays together, reaching out and attending something together. How are you at doing that with others? Number three, how are you at breaking bread together? Some of you are like, yeah, 10, let's eat all the time. That's right. How many of you are eating with somebody today? Hopefully you're eating with a dad, okay? We're having a get together at my house. You're not invited. There's too many people already coming. But it's going to be great. No, if you really want to come, let me know, okay? Okay, here we go. But how are you? Most of us eat often. Are you the kind of person that always eats alone? Even at work, do you take a lunch break? Is that a time that you could connect with a coworker and say, hey, let's grab a bite together and just talk and just get to know each other a little more deeper than just the surface? And the fourth area, how are you at sharing prayer together? And I'm not just talking about, hey, you want to bless the food today? Okay, thanks. God, thank you for the food. Amen. No, really, I could really use some prayer for this in my life. I'm struggling with this issue. I've got this. Nobody else knows this is going on in my life. Can I trust that you'd help me in praying with? Is there anybody in your life that you have that kind of relationship with where you can really share on an intimate level your prayer requests and to lift one another up? Acts 5:42. Let's jump a couple chapters. Acts 5:42. Listen to how devoted and committed the early church was. Day after day, in the temple courts, it's kind of like where we are now. It's kind of, even though it's a school, it kind of becomes a temple of sorts, even though the scriptures tell us that the our body is the temple of God. It's where God dwells for those of us that are Christians. We come together, though, regularly for a gathering. And day after day, they would gather in two different places. Check this out. They would gather regularly in the temple courts, but also from what? House to house. That's our community groups. We have a number of community groups, and we want to encourage you, if you're not in a community group, get connected. We've got cards back there. This one's for the Old Town Manassas community group. Anybody live out from this way west? Anybody? Raise your hand if you live from here west. One person. Two. Okay, that's a huge community group potential right there. Okay. No, but if you're willing to be a part of that group, there's a card back there. It says where each one is located. It says the address, who the leader is, email and contact number. You can get more information. I encourage you, if you're not in a group, stop back by the Get Plugged In table and pick up a card or two and check out a community group. Summer is a great time to engage and get plugged in. I want to encourage you to check one of those out. There are three here in Ashland. We've got one going on in Lake Ridge, maybe another one soon. In Lake Ridge, we've got some rumblings of one possibly going to form in Montclair. We had one for a while. We've got one down the road at Forest Park Community. We've got a number of them. And in a little bit, you're going to hear about two more that we're starting for the summer. So, but are you involved meeting house to house? These are great places where they aren't just getting together and you're hearing one guy do all the talking. You're getting together and you're digging in the Word together. You're sharing some great food together. You're praying with one another in a smaller, more intimate setting. And this is where life really begins to shape and transform us. And then you get out of that setting and you go enjoy some stuff together as well. Find opportunities to serve together. They met in temple courts and house to house. And they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Are you committed to a community? Are you involved in a community group? Hebrews 10:25 says this. 10:24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds by not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." Are you committed to being in a community group, to being gathering together, living life together, praying for one another? Sure, in this area, it's a busy area to live. It was so busy that I decided, God, if you want me to plant a church, I will not do it in the Washington, D.C. area. I told him that for 10 years. Look who won. This is a tough area. Yes, we're all very busy. But it's often been said that we find time for what's important. And we need to find time to connect with other believers in a way that will help us grow and encourage and develop the kind of life that God calls us to. Do you do that? I don't want to guilt you into thinking that you have to join and sign up for 1,000 different church programs. Every time we have something new start, you got to get signed up. That is not what I'm talking about. In order to help you kind of understand a little better, I have a simple video that I want you to watch. Check this out.
This is missional community. Simple. Bob is the owner of the local hobby shop and president of the Remote Control Airplane Club. Each Wednesday after work, the members of the Airplane Club get together to race, share in the joy of airplanes, compare designs, and to pass on the knowledge of model airplanes to their kids and grandkids. Bob goes to a church service with his sister on Christmas Eve and decides to become a Christian. He regularly attends Sunday services, finds his way into a small group, and joins the Wednesday night church gathering. He realizes that his commitment to church programs and his commitment to the Airplane Club are at odds. The church leadership empathizes with the situation but tell him it'd be better to attend the Wednesday program rather than spend time building airplanes. The church leadership also encourages Bob to get more involved in the church, leaving no time for airplanes. Bob agrees. Giving up a silly hobby will be his sacrifice for the Lord. Eventually, Bob's friends begin wondering what happened to him. In their minds, he was a critical part of the model airplane community. When they'd wander into his hobby shop, they'd ask, "What happened to you? We miss you." Bob begins to realize that he's becoming an outsider to all the conversations, significant or otherwise, that always unfolded during their Wednesdays together. Bob explains that he'd found something more important than model airplanes, and he even offers an invitation to the Wednesday night church meeting. Some of the Airplane Club try out his church because they respect and love Bob. But a lot of them decide not to go because they value the time together with family and friends on Wednesday evenings. After some time, Bob becomes a key leader in the church and hears his call to go and reach those people he knew from the club. Since giving up the regular meeting with the club, his interaction feels more difficult than he'd imagined. After all, Bob, their leader, left them for what seemed to be just another club on Wednesday evenings. Somewhat troubled, Bob decides to take a break from Wednesday night church gatherings and re-enter the world of model airplanes. Some in the church were deeply concerned for Bob's spiritual well-being. Others were disgruntled. Then someone asked the question, "What if we resource Bob to be even more effective at building healthy community where he already is? Let's help him to better live out more of Jesus' heart for compassion, generosity, peace, and love among people that know him best. After all, Bob is the most likely access point for those people to encounter Jesus." The church agrees. Bob's church is now determined to help him follow Jesus and assist him in living out his faith in the community that had been built around him. Bob now sees both his dedication to his church and to the model airplane community as critical components in following Jesus.
So what are we saying? And Pete, I'm not picking on you, but I just saw you and I looked up. Dive in. No pun intended. Dive into your swim club. Dive into your soccer team. Dive into the places where God has put you, because there is a reason. Jeremiah chapter 29:11, we all know, but we don't realize that the context of that verse is that God allowed the people, His own people, to be taken off into exile so that they would be an instrument in His hands to reach the people where they were sent. And they were told to live there, to build houses, to plant gardens, to let their sons and daughters marry with the people so that the people would come to know who God is. God wants us not to pull out from the world around us. He wants us to gauge those who are already around us. So, in your swim clubs, in your soccer teams, wherever it is that you are on a regular basis, you don't have to pull out of those things. Instead, how can God use you to develop what we're talking about? Called the care, called the compassion, called the community. How can you be that where you're already planted? God wants us to be in community. Yes, with other Christians so that we can be equipped. So get equipped. Find a way that you can be a part of a community group, our Sunday morning gathering, and to go out and to be a part of developing that. I would love to see Hope Hill start 5 or 6 churches over the next few years just because you became so impassioned and so connected with communities you're already a part of that God has used you to raise up others in those circles. God wants to see us do amazing things. The second thing community does when we do it right is it produces results. Let's read verse 43. "Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs." This is back in chapter 2. We were in chapter 5. Go back to chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. "Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs that were performed by the apostles. The Bible tells us this, that when we do good works, others will see those good works and come to glorify our Father in heaven. So how can God use you to be who He wants you to be in this world? To come here, get connected, established, and equipped to go into the world and to be His hands and feet and bringing life change into others so that they will see the works in your life and come to know our Father. When we are committed to community, God will show up in powerful ways. Everyone was filled with awe. And when we go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus, many people will say there's something different about them. It happens all the time. When we go out and do our free sales, when we go out and pass out food on the holidays, when we go out and we just befriend a neighbor and help meet their need, people see God in those things and they become filled with awe and wonder. There's something different about them. And God uses us when we connect with others in our community. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions and gave to who? Anyone who had need. Let's take an experiment real quick. If somebody in our church needed $100 for medicine today and they didn't have the funds, who here would say, I'll give $100 so that they can have their medicine met? I see the hand already. All right, let's go more. There's a mom who is a single mom. For whatever reason, she's got some kids. She needs some time alone from the kids. Four kids. She needs to go run errands or take care of some things. She doesn't have any money. Who here would babysit four kids for a day for that single mom? Look at all those hands going. Okay, somebody has a plumbing issue. You're broke. You can't pay the exorbitant fees that a plumber. Anybody in here a plumber and would say, I'll donate my time. I'll come over and help. I got some basic plumbing skills. Anybody? All right, leave your hand up. I need you. Okay. Think about this. As we start to open ourselves up to one another and become the kind of community God wants us to be, all the needs will start to be met. We need to start living that way with one another. Realizing that we can be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And we need to be careful that we don't just, you know what we could do? We could create this great website where all the people's needs are listed and you just go to the website and you're like, plumber. Yeah, great. You know, that would be easy, wouldn't it? In some ways, maybe even more effective. But that would cut off what God calls us to do, to really get to know one another, to really reach out and get involved in one another's lives. Sometimes systems will just take us out of what God intends, and that's for us to have real relationships. Every day they continued, verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, broke bread with one another. Are you doing that? Are you meeting together regularly with others? Verse 47, I'm skipping. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord did what? He added to their number daily those who were being saved. Daily. This is the kind of power that I want to see unfold in our community. Not just here in these four walls, but I want us to see the power of God in our community. When do we see the power of God? When we start to see the community of God. And we need to realize that God calls us to community. Today, are you committed? Are you hearing the call that God wants you to be a part of community, to go deeper? God will be seen not when He hears our great teaching. God will be seen not when He has great worship performances. It isn't that God will be seen when we can get out there and give the four spiritual laws and the most beautiful presentation. God is seen, the Bible says, when people see how much we love one another, when they see our good works in action. He said, they will know you're Christians by your love. And we need to be committed to loving our community, caring for our community. So today I want you to, as we close, I want you to think about these things. Are you a part of a community? Are you a part of a place where you can be spurred on to deeper growth in your walk with Christ? Are you in a place where you're getting to know two or three other believers, at least two or three, maybe 8 to 10, maybe 12, others who are trying to walk the same walk you're trying to walk? Are you getting together and stretching each other, challenging other, wrestling over passages of Scripture that don't quite make sense? You have to dig in and you go and you Google it, or you just call Jack, who's already Googled it, and And are you doing that with one another? We need to start engaging with one another so we can become the community that God wants us to be, so that we can reach the broader community. God calls us to community. God, I pray right now for each person in this room. I pray, God, that you would show us that you don't just call us to have a personal relationship with you, but that's just the beginning. God, you call us to have a personal relationship with your body, with the body of Christ. God, with one another sitting in this room, and those who are not yet in this room, and those who are in our hobbies, those who are on our sports teams, those who we work with. God, you call us to be in community with these people so that we can reveal to them who you are by the way we live our life, by the way that we care for others in need. God, help us to start to see that kind of community grown in this area. I pray right now, God, that as you speak to our hearts, you'd help us to see where do we need, where do we need to step out and to engage more. God, and maybe for some, the first step this morning is to have that personal relationship with you started. So God, I pray if there's somebody in this room that's never opened up their heart to realize that you want to be in community with them as a person, that they would open up their heart right now and say, Christ, forgive me for whatever's in my life that keeps me from knowing you. Come into my life and forgive me of the wrong choices that I make, the sin that's in my life. Forgive me. Come and speak to me. Help me to know who you are and shape me into the person you want me to be. Thank you for dying on a cross for me and forgiving me. Help me to walk now in new life. God, if there's a person here this morning who took that step, I pray that you would help them to know that they are now a child of yours and they are now a part of your greater community. And show us how now we can be engaged with others. So God, help us, God, as we think about these things this morning, as we remember that this is all possible because you came and you developed community, and at the end of your life here, you gave up your life, a broken body for us, your blood shed to pay for our sins. And as we take communion during our response time, help us to remember that, God, and to be prepared to live in response to it. So over the next few moments, I invite you to just think about the things we've talked about this morning, to listen to God and to respond to God in your own prayer. And as you feel led, I want to invite you to come take communion. Before we leave today, I'm going to let you know about two new groups that are starting. I want you to start praying, God, do you want me to be a part of a group? I know I don't have time, but help me to find a group to be a part of. And we got two new groups that are forming that you'll hear about in a few minutes. But listen to God right now. Respond to God. We have prayer teams in the back if you'd like to pray with someone about anything. I'll be up here at front. Especially if you pray to invite Christ into your life today, come let me know. And come and take communion as you feel led. Let's respond.